SpaceX's latest Starship test launch produced another mixed result. The vehicle reached orbit or near orbit successfully, which represents genuine progress. But the Super Heavy booster failed on its landing attempt again. The catch the booster with the tower approach has worked in previous tests, but it's not consistently reliable yet. For a vehicle system designed around rapid reusability, where the whole business case depends on turning around the booster quickly for reflight, landing consistency is the core engineering challenge remaining. Each failed landing is a destroyed vehicle worth tens of millions of dollars. SpaceX can absorb those losses at its current funding level, but the cadence of successful reuse is what will eventually determine whether Starship changes launch economics as advertised.
The wildfire forcing evacuation of NASA's Deep Space Tracking Station near Madrid is a story that connects the climate and science beats in a way that has real operational consequences. The Madrid complex is one of three stations in NASA's Deep Space network. The others are in California and Australia, and it handles communications with spacecraft ranging from the James Webb Telescope to missions at the outer planets. If the station has to shut down for an extended period, there are spacecraft that simply cannot be contacted. Controllers can sometimes route through the other two stations, depending on orbital geometry, but coverage gaps are possible. The timing is particularly bad given several active missions in deep space right now.
The Bundibugyo Ebola vaccine first human trial is genuinely significant medical news that is getting almost no attention because of the volume of geopolitical coverage this week. Bundibugyo is a strain of Ebola that has caused outbreaks in Central Africa, with case fatality rates around 25-36%, somewhat lower than the more famous Zaire strain, but still devastating. There has never been an approved vaccine specifically for the Bundibugyo strain. Getting to first-in-human testing means years of preclinical development have been cleared. The trial will take time, safety data first, then efficacy. But the fact that we're at this stage is a meaningful advance in preparedness for a pathogen that recurs regularly in outbreak-prone regions.
The CBP virus material story connects here in an uncomfortable way. Documents showing that customs agents seized undeclared biological materials before COVID raises questions about biosecurity procedures that are worth examining independently of any specific policy conclusion. The fact that undeclared materials were moving through ports of entry is not itself evidence of anything nefarious. Researchers sometimes travel with samples in ways that don't fully comply with customs declarations, for reasons ranging from bureaucratic confusion to genuine negligence. The question is whether the post-seizure handling protocols were adequate and what the materials actually were.
The wildfire story also connects to Trump's AI-generated image post this week. As Canadian wildfires worsened, the president posted what appears to be an AI-generated image of a border air filter on Truth Social, a response to air quality concerns that multiple fact-checkers confirmed was not a real device. Setting aside the politics, there's a genuine wildfire and air quality crisis affecting millions of Americans in the northern tier of states right now, and the government's response to it is getting substantially less attention than the Iran conflict. The Virginia data center groundwater issue, the Madrid NASA station evacuation, the Canadian wildfire smoke. There's a thread here about infrastructure vulnerability to environmental stress that deserves its own focused attention.